Joel Osteen's book is coming out. His new book is coming out October 4th. And he sent me a copy in advance. I'm halfway through this book. This is a outstanding book. And we have purchased many of them, and we will be giving them away October 9th through all of October. So if somebody is new to this church, if they come October 9th for the first time, we're going to give them a book. And they're doing multimedia all throughout. There's all kinds of people that are watching his programming, but they don't have a home church. And I've talked to Pastor Joel personally, and his heart is to funnel people into the local church. Pastor Joel knows that it's not good enough for someone to listen to his program every single week. He knows. You know, he knows the power of church. See, you need a pastor. You need a home church, and he knows that. And he's ministering to all these people, and many of them don't have a home church. So when he does a new book, he gives those churches, those churches that are partnering with him, and we partner we're one of the partners with him, that we're able to tap into that and get these books, and these people are going to come, and they're going to be ministered to in a real way, in a level that people need to be ministered to. That's why God gave to some, Jesus gave some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Because the body of Christ needs pastors and teachers. I need to be turned down just a little bit. So I want you to know that. I want you always to be inviting people. But I want you to know, starting October 9th and those four Sundays in October. There's five Sundays in October, but the last four Sundays, we're going to be giving Joel Osteen's book away. Okay, you say, but Pastor, what if? But I'm not new, and I want one of those books. Okay, well, you can purchase those books. They're normally $24, but we're going to sell them to you for $10. Okay, or I'm thinking about that. I really shouldn't do this, but I'm really thinking about it. I don't know. I might sell them to you. You might be able to purchase two of them for $20. Two for $20. I don't think I should do that, but I'm going to do that because that's how I am. I'm just a nice pastor. I'm going to go for it. I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. All right. Okay. So we are, 1999, okay, for two. I'll do it, I shouldn't, but I will. Okay. All right. So I'll remind you about that again, but anyone who's first time, you know what, is going to get a book in October, starting October 9th. We're talking about the Power Series. Everybody say the Power Series. Okay. So let's talk about in order, what we have learned. You guys ready for this? Okay. In order, what was the first thing we learned? Everybody say the power of expectation. Everybody say the power of expectation. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, that I'm going to be healed. And she got healed when she got healed? When she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped and said, let me tell you why you're healed. You're healed. When she's done, he stops and says, let me tell you why you're healed. You're healed because of your faith. That's what he said. Jesus said it. Don't argue with me. You know what? Can I tell you what? Don't argue with the commentary of the Holy Spirit. You just can't. You know why she was healed? Because there's power and expectation. And if you'll start to expect good things in your life, you know what? Expect healings of your life. Yeah, but the doctor said this. I know the doctor told her a bunch of stuff too. Amen? See, exalt the Lord. Amen? Exalt the Lord. Exalt him. Amen. That's what she did. She had a power of expectation. Amen. The power. What was the second thing we talked about? Power of thanksgiving. Everybody say power of thanksgiving. There's something, you know what? There's things that God has called you in life. When you start to just water those seeds and say, you know what? I thank God. And it might not even be manifest yet, but you start to thank God for that. There's something powerful about thanking God. Amen. And not just thanking God for what's going to happen, but thank God for all the things he's already done. How many know he's worthy of thanksgiving? Amen. And then we looked at, the third thing we talked about is the power of what? The power of not looking at your circumstances. For the just shall live by their faith. Amen. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of something not seen. Ever seen? Not seen. Not seen. Okay, so there's something very powerful about not looking at your circumstances and saying, it don't make any difference what it looks like. I don't move. I'm not moved by what I see. You know what? I'll walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Are you learning something? Okay, then we talked about the power of what? Just simply asking. Just ask God. You know what I mean? God says you have not because you ask not. God wants you to ask him. The Bible says, If you being a evil man know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give good gifts to, do you know how to finish this? Those who ask. To those who ask. Okay. Then we talked about the power of what?
Singing.
Everybody say singing. Come on, you didn't do it. Everybody say singing. See, you see how powerful that is? That just brought joy to you right there. Boom. I'm telling you what, there's something powerful if you'll start to sing. Amen. And if you change a situation, turn your attitude around. Your attitude is everything. Your attitude determines your altitude. Amen.
But Pastor, I don't like my life.
Well, change your attitude. Amen. And one of the most powerful things is just start singing. Amen? Amen. And then finally, we talked about the power of what?
Church.
There's something powerful when you will, you know what, say, that's my pastor, those are my pastors, and I am locked in. Everybody say locked in. I'm locked in. What does that mean? That means when, you know what, your friend said, hey, dude, you know what, let's go to the mall, or did the dude say, hey, dude, let's go to the mall? I don't know. They might. I don't know. Anyway. No. Okay. Let's go play basketball, man. Okay. Whatever it is. Whatever they say. You go, no, dude. Listen to me. How many know just because somebody asked you something on Sunday, you just got to go, let me think about it for a second. No. Why? I already got plans. Amen. Everybody say, I already got plans. Okay. Pull you up here and say, I already got plans. Okay. Can't do that. Ain't going there. Okay. I got plans. Can't do that. Okay, we're not going there. Okay. And I say this, you know what? We don't go to church on Sunday. I thought you just said, no. We don't go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday
and Wednesday.
All right. Man, that's good review. That was quick. That was what's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 weeks in less than 5 minutes. That's pretty good, huh? Today I want to talk about the power of a label. Everybody say the power of a label. How many think this is going to be good already? The power of a label. Let me tell you what. Labels are so powerful. Now, I don't know. I don't know how you perceive you. Remember in high school? Okay, you remember the coolest people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? They just had it. And you know what? Many of you were not in that group. Amen? Right?
Yeah.
Come on, you can say amen to this. I don't want to say it. You know what? I got to tell you, when I was in junior high, I should have showed you a picture of me in junior high. When I was in junior high, I'm a guy, true story. I was the dorkiest looking person. I mean, out of all the people in the world, If God said, who is the dorkiest looking? Right now, Drew Cohen is the dorkiest person. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling I was the dorkiest looking person. Yeah, for sure. I want to talk to you today about the power of labels. And the reality is all of us have labels that many times other people have labeled us. You know what? Not good enough, less than, inferior, just dorky. You know what? Unattractive. All kinds of labels. And words are very powerful. And they have the labels are very powerful. And they create these images and it becomes of who we think we are. And today I want to talk to you about that. I want to encourage you to whatever, you know what, to take off those labels of inferior and, you know, you can't and you'll never and it just won't work out or, you know what, I can't lose this weight. You know what I mean? I'll never own my own home. I'll always, you know what, and these things, and many of them are things that you won't even speak. But in your mind, you think, you know what? I'll never drive a nice car. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to, you know what? I'm never going to be happy in my marriage that I have. All these labels. I'll always have to, you know what? You know, I always have to deal with this sickness. And after all, the doctor said, you know what? There's no cure. The doctor said, no, we're just going to manage the pain. That's a label. That's a label. He's labeled. And the problem is, he can label you that, but when you walk away, when you take that label and when you put that label on, then it becomes who you are. And then you start telling, the doctor said this, and I got to take this. But he said, he said, I can only expect, I'll never expect to be able to walk without pain. Well, that's a label. And you've taken that label. You said, no, that's who it is. And watch, I'll prove it to you. You've taken that label. That's why you tell your relatives, here's what the doctor said. And you start having this mentality of, that's how it is. And let me tell you what, labels are powerful. Everybody say labels are powerful. And I want to talk to you about that today. First thing I want to say is this. First point is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Many times, the labels that men give you do not agree with what God says about you. See, God. Let me tell you what. Let's take that one example of the doctor. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. How many know that's not what God says? God doesn't say that you just have to live with that sickness. No, God says by His stripes, you know what, you were healed. That's what He says. God says, I sent my word to heal you. You know, how many know when you see Jesus, you see God? How many know when you see Jesus, you see God? And how many know there is never a sickness, never a pain, never anything that somebody came up to heal Jesus and Jesus said, no, I can't take that label off you. Including leprosy. Including blindness, including deafness, you want a real sickness, a real, real big sickness? How about this? Including death. See, Jesus healed everyone. Read your Bible. You tell me who Jesus went up to and said, I can't do that. No, you have to keep that label. Nope. And over again, you know what? We read where Jesus would heal somebody, and then they would go into all the surroundings over and over in the New Testament. They'd go to all the surrounding areas, bringing all that were sick. How many know that is a lot of people? And over again, you see Jesus saying, the gospel saying that he healed them all. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I'm saying to you is, understand this, that what men say about you and what God says about you many times are very, very different things. Well, here's what I'm saying. Don't take the man label. You know, take the God label. Put on what God says about you. It's so interesting to me. There was a... when Joel Osteen took over for his father had a pretty large church of about 1,000 people. How many know 1,000 people church in America is a pretty large church? Can I tell you how large his church is now? When he took over for his dad, the church was about 1,000 people. You know how big his church is now? 45,000 people. So in about 15, 16 years, they've had some growth, would you say? Here's the ironic part. When he first started preaching, he was very insecure, had never preached before, had never ministered before. He was always working the back scenes, you know what, working with his dad in the television ministry, and he was always helping his father put his best foot forward and just helping him behind the scenes. Never had been in front of the camera, always behind the camera. So he had no experience that. So he's already insecure and, you know, about his ability. And he hears two ladies in the lobby trying to label him. And here's the label that they labeled him. Here's what they said. And he overheard him say this. And they said, you know what? He's not as good as his father. And the other lady responded and said this. Yeah, I don't really think this church is even going to make it. Now, here's what I want you to catch. And remember the point. You know what? Many times, men's labels, what man says about you, doesn't agree with what God says about you. But here's what I want you to catch. Imagine for a minute, how many of you know words are powerful and they influence us in what we think? And how many know Satan's already coming at him thinking, man, he can't do this. You don't know what you're doing. How many know that's what Satan will tell you? You don't know what you're doing. So already insecure. And he hears this. Listen, aren't you glad that Pastor Joel didn't put on that label that those ladies wanted to give him? I mean, really think about it. And here's what I want to say to you. You know what? Listen, don't put on those labels. And some of these people, let me just tell you what, some of these people are people, many times, I'll just be honest, many times these labels were given to you by your parents. And many times there was no malice, you know what I mean? Sometimes just out of anger they'd say stuff. Other times, you know what, it was this weird way to try to motivate you, you know what I mean? And many times, understand this, why are they treating you like that? Because that's how they were treated, amen? So don't get on a big pity potter about, you know what, about, you know, your parents. But just understand, you know what, hey, many times it comes from people who are close to you. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your kids. Amen? Maybe you wore a polka-dotted, you know what, shirt to church, you know what? And maybe, I'm just saying maybe you did, amen? And maybe when you looked in the mirror, you thought, man, I look good in this polka dotted shirt. You know, I know it's a little out there, but I think I look good. You know what I mean? And maybe you went to church that day. Amen. And maybe some people said some stuff. Amen. Listen, I love you, but I don't care if you didn't like my polka dotted shirt. Amen. Amen. My wife liked it. Amen. So that's good enough for me. Amen. But all I'm saying is, people's opinions matter to us. And if we put on those labels, you know, here's what happened. You know, listen, those ladies really had no power to stifle the vision and the purpose of Joel Osteen, except when you give them that power. Aren't you glad that Joel Osteen can give them that power? Romans chapter 3, verse 4, one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Certainly not, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true. Let him put that label on you. You know what? More than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know what? You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen? You're above, not beneath. See, God has got some things to say. He's said some things about you too. Amen? Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. How many know God has said some things about you too? But you've got to, notice what it says, you've got to let, everybody say let. Let God be true. Put his label on you. Amen? I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm the lender, not the borrower. Oh, but the banker said it's going to take you 38 years to get out of your, you know. Well, who cares what the banker said? You know what? He's a liar. Amen? No. I don't receive what he said. I receive what God said. How many know, guys, it's going to take some tenacity to do this. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to exalt God, his word. Let his word have final authority in your life. Amen. And you learn something. Now, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm reading out of New King James. If you don't have that, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but you can follow up on the screen with us. Look what it says. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. What's happening? Samuel's coming and he's looking for the king. He's going to anoint the king. And so, you know, Jesse's got all his sons. Well, not all his sons. He's got most of his sons lined up. And Samuel said to Jesse, you know what? The Lord has not chosen those. Next verse. So Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? See, he senses that he's called to anoint Jesse's son. But when he goes through the sons, he's not there. So this guy, smart guy, he thinks, you know what? Wait a minute. What's going on here? Jesse, you got any more sons? And look what he says. And he says, and then he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. I love Samuel. Samuel said, send and bring him. You guys got the nerve? Oh, for, I love this. For we will not sit down till he comes. Listen. Maybe you don't see the anointing on his life. Maybe you can't see it, but I can see it. And I ain't leaving, you know what, till I see him. And here's what happens. And he sees him right. And so he comes and he says, oh, that's a guy. See, listen, maybe your friends didn't see the anointing on your life. Amen? Come on. Maybe the friend, you. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe you're a goofball. You know, how many know somebody goofball? You know what? My friends in junior high were goofballs. Amen? True story. All my best friends used to hang out in Whittier Villas. You know what I mean? Used to get on bicycles, and we had this cul-de-sac, and we'd do these bicycle races. You know what? And we'd play ping pong, and we'd lift weights. We just hung out all summer. Okay? But when I was a freshman in high school, true story, all my friends go up to the bus stop, and that day, I mean, all my friends from Whittier Villas, that day, they decide, we ain't going to go to school. We'll let the bus go, and we're going to go to Winchell's and eat donuts and smoke cigarettes. I'm just telling you, you know what? When they got to high school, they got goofball-ish, amen? Listen. All I'm saying is maybe you hung around with some junior hires and they didn't notice. You know, think about it. Two ladies in the lobby. What do they know? They don't know. But how many of two ladies in the lobby, you know what, have life and death coming out of their tongue? And if you take that label, guess what? You know what? You can let two ladies in the lobby who don't know nothing, you know what, hinder you and what God wants to do in your life. Does anybody have two ladies in the lobby in their life? They don't know nothing. I'm here to tell you, I got a message. They don't know nothing. Amen. Amen. And but I tell you what, you know what, the prophet knew something. God knows something about you. I'm not sitting down till I see that one. That one came, and he recognized the anointing on his life. Then what happens later? You know what? Later, after, listen, his brothers saw the anointing. He was anointed by the prophet. They saw it. And yet, later on, when he comes, and he's just coming, he's just coming with cheese sandwiches, you know what I mean, to his brothers. You know, his brothers are in the army, and you know what his brothers say when he gets there? They're like, what are you doing here? Listen how derogatory they are. They say, what are you doing here? Who did you get to watch the few sheep that you were supposed to be watching? All you do is watch a couple of dads, you know what, sheep out there. Amen. But see, can I tell you what? Let's talk about this story. Let's talk about your goofball friends. You're called to lead your goofball friends. You're allowing your goofball friends to put a label on you to keep you down. No, get that label off. Slay the giant. You know what happened when David slayed the giant? Do you know what happened? Yeah, he cut off his head. No, I'm not talking about that part. But when he came back with his head, with Goliath's head, you know what? Carrying it, you know what? All these guys, including his brothers, jumped over their hiding spot, you know what? And they start running after the Philistines. See, you're called to lead your friends, not to allow your friends to put labels on you. And you know what? They don't even know. They're just two ladies in the lobby. Are you learning something? Number two, are you learning something? Number two, words are like seeds. If you dwell on them long enough, they take root. They take root. Judges chapter 6, verses 14, starting with verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel in the hand from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Then look what he says. So he said to him, O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here's what I'm saying. This is Gideon. This is what Gideon says. And notice this. He's arguing with God. Don't argue with God what your label is. If he says you're healed, let God be true and every man a liar, including you. Amen. Amen? God says you're above, not beneath. God says you're to be the lender, not the borrower. God says greater is he that's inside you than he's in the world. Then you say what he says. Amen? Don't argue with God. It was like, amen. And here's the deal. Here's why I brought this up. Because many times that thought of, you know what, you've been trying to lose that 20 pounds for the last, you know what, 18 years. And you finally put that on and said, you know what, I'll never lose that. Here, I love you. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. See, it's what happened is, you know what, this Gideon has been in this family, and the family's always, you know what, the dorky family, the weakest family, listen. Love you guys. Listen. You have these things in your life. They're called iniquities. And iniquities are weaknesses that are transferred down from your parents and from your grandparents and from your great-grandparents. But you know what the Bible says? Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. See, don't magnify your weaknesses. Magnify the power of God. Amen? Come on. And that's what he's doing. How many of God said, no, you are a mighty man. See, look at the label. You're a mighty man of valor. That's who you are. And that's how you are. You're a mighty man of valor. You say, Pastor, how come you're pastoring here today? I tell you what, the reason I'm pastoring here today is because there was a young man who saw something in me that I didn't see. And I was toying with the idea of maybe becoming a pastor, maybe, but just toying with the idea. Listen, I was so insecure, true story. I was so a failure going to happen that when I went to Life Bible College, I didn't tell my parents. My father was a pastor. You think that would cause him great joy? You know, you think I'd go to him and say, Dad, you know what, Mom? You know, God has called me. I'm going to go to Life Bible College and become a pastor. I didn't tell him that. Pastor, why didn't you tell him that? Here's why. Because I anticipated that just like what I did at Orange Coast College, I'd enroll, and then I'd get discouraged, and then I would unenroll myself. Amen? I'd withdraw. And I did this year after year, semester after semester. So when I started getting alive, I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to tell them. What am I dealing with? I'm just dealing with how insecure I am. I've got a failure mentality. I labeled myself, I am a failure. Amen. So I didn't even tell. You know what? But what happened? What happened is I had a friend of mine. I didn't really even know him, but I started to know him. I met him in Life Bible College. It was a friend. And he saw what I didn't see. He saw in the spiritual realm, listen to me, he saw in the spiritual realm the label that God had placed in me. He saw it. How many know, and I don't have time to go into it in detail, but in our heart, go to level one, go to level two, and I'll teach this to you in level three. And it'll be one of the most revolutionary things you will ever learn. But in your heart, your two things is your spirit and your soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, many times all kinds of insecurities, all kinds of trash in your heart. And so many times people, that's all they see. They just see in you, all they see is your soul. And that's all you see. But he saw my spirit. And he'd look at me and say, and I'd just be walking at campus and he'd say, that's a mighty man of God. And he'd point to me. And when he first did this, I thought, man, is there somebody behind me? Who are you pointing? I know he's not pointing to me because I'm serious. See, you need to take off those labels. You need to take that off. And many of you have been wearing those labels for so long. Your friends, some of you still have goofball friends that you raised, and they just see you like that way. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you, and you've got to take off that label. If somebody learned something. Okay. And then my last point is, you must change. Everybody say change.
Change.
You must change that label. Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. When the woman took the two men, this woman is a prostitute. Well, you know, I mean, everybody knows God can't use people with sordid past. I'm sorry. What Bible are you reading? Because what I see is that's, I mean, you look at, that is God. You look at Paul. Paul wrote, you know what? A good portion of the New Testament, and this guy is persecuting the church. You look at all the people in the Old Testament. You don't want all kinds of, but at some point in time, here's what they did. They did what I'm asking you to do. They took off that label, and they started labeling them the way God said. This woman's a prostitute. Oh, everybody knows God can't use people with sordid past. Well, he used her that day. Amen. And the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes. I love this. Is so cool. Yes, the man came to me. She's talking to the people who are looking for this book. Yeah, they came to me. But I didn't know. I didn't know where they're from. Watch it, next verse. And it happened at the gate. It was about to shut, and it was dark, and the men went out. And the men went, and where the men went, I didn't know. But here's what you, go get them quick. That you might overtake them. Where were they? They were in her house when she's telling the whole time this. God says, listen, not only am I going to save you, I'm going to save all in your family. When all this destruction comes to Jericho, you are going to be saved. And not only that, but you will be of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
This woman, she married, this prostitute married a Jewish man. And they had a son, and then they had a son, and they had a son. That son's name was Jesse, and Jesse had a son. Do you know what his name was? David. Amen. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
See? And what does God say about you? What does God say about you? Well, he says all kinds of things. Look, guys in the back, go with me here. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. What kind of label does God put on you? Well, we can find a bunch. I've already told you a bunch, but go to Revelation 5. And look what it says. And he sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have been redeemed, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe," every tribe, "and every tongue, the people and nation, and have made us," what? "Out of every tribe and every tongue have made us," what? You guys don't have it. Guys in the back? Oh. Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 9. Sorry. All right. "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us." Everybody say redeemed us. Okay. "To God by your blood, out of every tribe," say every tribe, "and every tongue, and the people of the nation," watch this, "and have made," now are you with me? "And have made" what?
"Us"
what?
"Kings."
What did God make you?
"Kings."
Come on, somebody. What does God say? Don't let two ladies in the label you in the lobby. Don't let them label you. Don't let your friends in junior high tell you who you are. Don't even let a coach tell you who you are, or maybe a teacher tell you are. Oh, you're just a slow learner. No, listen, they don't know everything. They're just two ladies in the lobby. That's all they are. God has called you a king, a priest, amen? "And he made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign." Come on, somebody. You won't reign on this earth, man. You're walking around like you work at 7-Eleven or something. Knock it off. You got this mentality like you're below. You're not below. And listen, and maybe you do work at 7-Eleven. It's okay. God still called you to be a king. That's who he says you are. Amen. Are you learning something? Now turn to Revelation 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, and he is Lord of lords. And who is Jesus? And King. See, when we think Jesus is King of Kings, we've always put it in a parameter and not understand who he's talking about there. Oh, yes, you know what? The prime minister here and the president there, and you know what? He is a king amongst the kings. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is he is King of Kings. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about you. He's King of Kings. He's King of Kings. And those whom are with him are called, chosen, and what? He called you chosen and faithful. Now I'll close with this story. What are you? You're kings, and what does he call you? You're chosen and you're faithful. Can I tell you what? Some of you have not been faithful. Some of you are, I love you guys. Am I smiling? Okay. Some of you are as flaky as Kellogg cornflakes. Amen. But can I tell you what God calls you? God calls you faithful. See, you need to take off that, and yes, you have been flaky, but you need to take off that flaky label. Listen, you will continue to be flaky until you take off that flaky label. You know why you're flaky? Because you don't see yourself as a leader here at this church. You think, I just roll in here when I want. I'm not that, you know what I mean? I mean, God loves me. I love him. I'm going to heaven. But you know what I mean? Okay, listen, faithful. Amen. Listen, chosen. You are chosen. God has chosen you to be here and be a leader at this church. Amen. You are faithful. That's who you are. I see you every Sunday and every Wednesday. You volunteer. You're part of you're getting on this team and you're starting to pull. And let me tell you what, we're going to get a lot of people in Pico Rivera saved. Amen. Amen. Because let me tell you who you are. You are faithful. And you are chosen. And we are all kings. Amen. I didn't have enough time, but I was going to go over to Burger King and get you all hats today. Amen. 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 All right. Are you learning something? You're chosen. Chosen for what? Chosen for greatness. What has God chosen you for? God's chosen you to reign with him. That's what he's chosen you for. You know what? So let's get busy. Amen. We got work to do. Amen. Let's start acting like who we are. Amen. Let's take off those labels. So I'm, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this story, but it is what it is. Amen. So I'm in the second grade, and it was the weirdest thing. They put me I don't know if you remember this, but in when I was growing up, they had these reading groups. And it was the weirdest thing. They put me in the slowest reading group. I was like, man, what's up? What's it with? Her name was Mrs. Brooks. Never forget Mrs. Brooks. Mrs. Brooks, I was like, are you having a bad hair day, Mrs. Brooks? Because I don't know why I'm in the slowest reading class. Well, here's why I was in the slowest reading group. Because I belonged in that group. So, and you know what, but let me tell you about Satan. Satan doesn't fight fair. Listen to me. Some of the labels that you've had, you were given to them. Understand what Satan did. God hated Satan for this. But Satan goes around back, and he attacks the Israelites from behind knowing that the women and the children are the stragglers. That's how cowardly. Satan does the same thing. And Satan came against me, you know what, when I was in the second grade with the label of, you know what, you're slow, you're insufficient, you're a slow learner, you're, you know what I mean? So in the second grade, at the end of the second grade, all my friends are graduating in third grade, and you know what, and I get, you know what, and my report is like, you know what, So I show it to my dad. My dad talks, you know, mom and dad talk to Miss Brooks. She says, hey, I would just think that, you know, your son should stay in second grade again. Exactly. What? But how many know? And my parents were gracious. You know what? They were loving parents. They tried to focus on. Can I tell you, parents, listen, focus on your kids, what they excel in. Speak to that. Amen. My parents were gracious. They tried to put me in reading classes, tried to help me out, and I just struggled. Academically, you know what? Just struggled. In elementary school, junior high school, I just struggled academically. And then I'm enrolling at junior college, and just drop out. And then I feel like, you know what, I feel called into the ministry, and I enroll at Life Bible College. And so I say all that to get to here's the point of the story. I'm labeled as a slow learner. And I'm thinking, when I'm a freshman, I'm thinking I am completely out of my league. I don't belong here. And that's what Satan will do. And I was in a room much like this. Probably as many people are here. You know what? And I thought, you know what? All these people are smart. But I'm not smart. And then guess what I got to do? The first thing they did is they had all the freshman class. There were over 100 in the freshman class. The freshman class at Life Bible College got to take a high school English proficiency test. Because if you weren't proficient enough, you couldn't take, composition English. English 101. Okay. It had to take English 101. In English 101, we learned how to write a paper, a real paper with footnotes and all that stuff. Okay. So I take the test, and I am one of eight. Everybody say eight. Not 58, eight, who can't pass the test. So now I'm registered at Life. I'm already 26 or 27, already feeling like I'm way behind the eight ball. And I am excited to be at college, at Bible college, but then I can't even pass the English test. So I'm in there with eight, certainly myself labeled as a dummy. And I'm thinking, and this is a true story, and I can't, I'm paying money, because it wasn't a public, it was a private school, I'm paying money, and I'm not even going to get credit for this class, because it's not a college class. I'm already behind it, I haven't even started. Okay, let me tell you another story. One of my classes is Old Testament Survey. And we were in the quarter system, so in eight weeks, we're going to go through all the Old Testament. So every 2 weeks, we're taking a test. Boom, 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 boom. My first test, you know what? I get a D minus on the test. So picture this. I got a D minus in my first test, and I'm in the dummy English class. But who is the teacher of the English class? That's funny, but it's not true. Not Miss Brooks. Okay. Here's guess who the teacher is. Here's the teacher. Here's the teacher. Mrs. Best. Listen, Mrs. Best was the best. And she took eight of the students who couldn't pass the English. And here's what she did for me. I can't speak of what she did for the other seven, but here's what she did for me. She took off the label that Miss Brooks had put on. I'm not saying Miss Brooks was a bad person, but because of that experience, Miss Brooks put that on me. And nobody can take that off of you except you. But Dr. Best helped me get that label off. Here's what Dr. Best taught me. She said, if you can speak good, you can write good. If you can write good, you can read good. If you can read good, you can spell good. And if you can spell good, you can speak good. And if you can speak good, you can write good. And if you can write good, you can read good. And if you can read good, you can, do you understand? And she taught me this, and she said, it's just, guys, it's just this circle that just goes up and up. They're all connected. And if you'll just start working on your reading skills, then you'll write better. If you write better, you'll spell better. If you spell better, you'll speak better. And you just this whole thing. And she just convinced me that I was in the wrong class. That year, there were some people who made the dean's list. The dean's list, you had to get so many A's, you couldn't get any C's, I forget what it was, but it was the academic elite. And when you went to that list, guess who was on that list? Drew Cohen. So, Pastor, what happened? Amen. Amen. Why do I tell you that story? Why did I tell you the story about, you know what? Because at some point in time, you've got to recognize the power of the label, and you've got to take off that label and put on what God says that you are. Let me tell you what God says you are. God says that you're above, not beneath. God says that you're faithful. God says that you're chosen. God says that you're a king. That's what God says. And a priest. Can we recognize that maybe we have some labels that were put on us? And can we take those off today? My prayer is that I decree and declare over you that those labels that have held you down of, you know what, you're not enough, insufficient, too sick, too old, you know, never lose that weight, never own this, never have a good family, never all, because you're just, hey, that is the past, and the past is the past. But can I tell you the truth? As much as I would like to take that label off you, you need to take that label off of you. How do you do it? You renew your mind according to the word. You say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, greater is he who's inside me than he is known in the world. See, if you keep on regurgitating what the doctor says, then guess what? That label's not coming off. I don't need what the doctor says I have. I need what God says I have. Can I tell you what? And we deserve what God says we deserve. That hardly comes out of our mouth, but we deserve it. Why do we deserve it? Because God says you deserve it. Remember when God spoke to Peter, and what's he trying to do? He's trying to get him to change his mindset. And he says this, don't call unclean. Come on, somebody. What I have called clean. See, we have to have a revelation of what God says. Remember what he said to Jesus? He said, who do men say that I am? Oh, you're this, you're that, you're that, you're this. Okay, but who do you say I am? And then Peter says, let me tell you what. Let me tell you who you are. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, that's what I'm talking about. You are saying what God says about me. Can I tell you what? Say what God says about you. He'll do the same thing. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Yeah, but I'm not moved by what I feel. Amen. I walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Stand up to your feet and say, I'm a king. Stand up to your feet and say, I'm a king. Stand up to your feet and say, I'm a king. Stand up to your feet and say, I'm a king. And what else are you? a priest. Say, I'm a priest. And I'm a king. Amen. Somebody say, I'm chosen. Amen. Somebody say, I got some lapels today. Somebody say, even if you don't have lapels, act like you have lapels. Say, you know what? I'm chosen. Father, I say what you say about me. I say what you say about them. We are chosen. We are faithful. We are kings and we are priests. We are called unto you. We are the healed. We're above. We're not beneath. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Amen. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray.